Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. You may be seated. Sometimes the things that are most difficult to see are the things that are staring us right in the face. I'll admit that there have been times when I've been looking for certain things, and I'm running around the house like a madman, looking in every possible place that these things could be. And then I'll come back to this one spot that I've searched, I know, a dozen times already, and they're sitting right there in plain sight, that thing that I'm looking for. Which is why I can't place too much blame on the kids for the things that they miss when we ask them to sweep the dining room floor. Even when those things seem so glaring right out there in your face. And then there are those 3D hidden pictures. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You've seen them before. When you first look at it, it's just a bunch of dots on the page, maybe some red and some blue, or maybe some squiggly lines that don't seem to make any sense at all. And then the more you stare, you squint your eyes, you begin to go cross-eyed, and a picture starts to appear. And it looks as though there's a 3D image of an elephant or a sailboat or something else. The image was right in front of you, right there on the page in front of you all the time. But at first it was not easy to recognize. Sometimes even more difficult to recognize than all of that is a sign of what God's doing right in front of you. There's nothing wrong with the sign, of course. God put it there. And at this joyous time of the year, we can surely guess what that sign points to. Because all signs point to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The problem is, though, that on our own, we often can't recognize what that sign means for us. What's more, when people do see it, many don't want to. Being able to see what God is doing and how He fulfills His promises isn't always an easy thing. But God's Word teaches us that it's not really contingent on us. And it's not really about our abilities of discernment either. You don't have to go cross-eyed to see it. The recognition comes through and because of the Holy Spirit. And to our text for today, Simeon was given a simple but powerful promise that he would see the Christ before he died. And it would be really easy to get caught up in that promise and think for ourselves, God, why don't you give me that kind of promise? Because wouldn't it be great to see Jesus coming again, like Simeon saw Jesus that first time before he died? But I don't think it's productive for us to get caught up in that line of thinking, because this wasn't a blanket promise to God's people. This was a very specific promise to one individual at one point in time. Simeon alone was given this promise of seeing the Christ in the person of Jesus before he died. And then God fulfilled that promise. But the thing to note here is not just that Simeon received this promise, not just that God fulfilled the promise for him, but that Simeon was able to recognize when that promise was being revealed. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Before we get to what it is that Simeon said, which is a powerful thing, did you catch what happened here? The reason Simeon recognized the sign that God was fulfilling in Jesus was because he came in the Spirit. I don't think we can fully describe what that must have looked like or felt like But we do know that in some way, Simeon was connected to the Holy Spirit. He was described in verse 25 by Luke as righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Is that where you reside? In the Holy Spirit? Or better yet, does the Holy Spirit reside in you? Whether you believe it or not, and whether it feels like it or not, the answer to that question is yes. In Christ, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to be our comforter, to be our counselor, to be the one who walks with us daily. God gave you His Holy Spirit at your baptism. Every time that you hear the Word of God proclaimed, the Spirit is active, working in your heart, opening your eyes. At the Lord's table, it's the Holy Spirit who assures you that Christ's body and blood actually do give you the forgiveness and the eternal life that they promise. Simeon didn't have the Holy Spirit because he was righteous and devout. Simeon was devout and righteous because he had the Holy Spirit. And Simeon responded to the Holy Spirit's presence through a life of listening and responding and recognizing God's work through that very same Holy Spirit. He listened to God's word and he listened to the Spirit as it moved him to go to the temple that day. He responded to the Spirit's prompting by going and doing what the Spirit had said. And the reason that he recognized what God was doing is because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And here's what Simeon says in response to this revelation. These great and powerful words. Words that are so meaningful that we use them in almost all of our communion liturgies. Simeon says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The Spirit revealed his action and work in Christ Jesus to Simeon. And that revelation opened Simeon's eyes. It opened his heart, allowing him to respond. To respond in faithfulness, obedience, and devotion. There's an important distinction to be made here. It's God's work and action that always comes before our response. God has revealed this sign of Jesus to us. His Holy Spirit has worked faith in us. And then because of all of that, our response is this: to respond with thanks and praise in a similar way to what Simeon did. But sometimes God's action doesn't provoke such a positive response. Where Simeon responds with this amazing praise to God, so that even Mary and Joseph marvel at it, Simeon points out that Jesus is salvation to some, but to others he's a stumbling block. Listen to what he says. "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" And Simeon's not the only one who recognized this twofold coming of Jesus. And the fact that some will hear, some will not, some will respond, some will not. Paul also recognized this. And in his writings, he says that Jesus is the source of salvation. And that some would respond like Simeon, and others would not. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the positive response, right? That's the Pauls. That's the Simeons. Hopefully that's you and me with a positive response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul also goes on to say, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, while to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Whenever the truth is preached, there are going to be some who believe and some who respond and others who will not. Even when the same sign from God is right there in front of both of them. When some see this sign from God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, Christ crucified, Christ raised from the dead, some will respond with belief, and others will respond with disbelief, disgust, skepticism, scoffing. And you and I might not understand why some people are hesitant to hear and to believe the message of what God has done for them. Maybe it's the way that we're presenting the message. Maybe we're not stating it as clearly as we think we are. And maybe we're not responding to the message with that same conviction that Simeon had that would make others believe what we say. Maybe we don't believe it as strongly as we think we do. But no matter what the cause is, the incarnation, the cross, and the resurrection are always going to be stumbling blocks for some people. And it's largely because those things make us pause and take a look at our own sinfulness. When we see such a great work that God has done for us, what we realize is that it took that great work to save us. And what we internalize then is that we cannot save ourselves. It's God's work and His action that does this. And it takes control out of our hands. It takes the power of salvation out of our own abilities. And we don't like that, do we? We don't like to be out of control. We don't like to have the ability to control our own selves and our own future. Because it brings us to a point where we have to admit that we can't do it. We can't save ourselves. We stand in need of God's grace. And we get to that point of dependence on Him, and it hurts a little. It's not easy to admit that you're wrong or that you need someone else, especially God. But Simeon's point here speaks perfectly to all of this. You don't have to do it on your own. It's okay to be dependent on God. That's how He designed it, after all. Even in the Garden of Eden, when everything was perfect, it was perfect because Adam and Eve rested in God and relied on Him to provide for them and to take care of them. It's once they turned towards themselves, thinking that they could find wisdom in their own thoughts or their own understanding or their own knowledge. That's when things got all messed up. But the gospel, the message that Simeon proclaimed, pointed right back to God's salvation and His work in Jesus. Not only did Adam and Eve's salvation come from Jesus, but their daily sustenance, their daily walk, their daily leading, counseling, consolation, and redemption came from Jesus through His Holy Spirit. It's so easy for us to get caught up in searching for signs. We want it to be explicit. We want to see it right there in front of our faces. We want it to make sense. We don't want to have to squint our eyes to be able to see what God is showing to us. We want Him to give us explicit instructions on what to do next, what job to take, what girl or guy to date or to marry, and how we're going to get through this next month or maybe even this next week financially. We want those signs, and we want them to be clear. But it's also very easy for us to miss the signs that are right in front of our faces. But in all these things, God is giving us this assurance that He is here providing for us daily. We don't have to look to anything or to anyone else for all of that. So rest in Him. Know that you do have the Holy Spirit so that you can recognize what God is doing right in front of you. See that the sign that you need more than anything else has already been given, already been fulfilled in Emmanuel, God with us. So hear His calling, hear His prompting, and respond to His goodness by resting and being dependent on Him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue by singing the Te Deum.